So if I haven't conveyed it enough yet, this is one of my very favorite Sundays all year. The Sunday where we celebrate our high school seniors and their community. Yep, the senior does the bulk of the work, right? They've carried the determination and the tenacity to finish. And now that I'm a little bit older, I recognize that if you're a parent of a graduate, the parent has also worked hard and had the determination and the tenacity to get them through. There's something different about preaching on Senior Sunday. Everyone is full of hope and expectancy. We have a wonderful time of celebrating together, watching a slideshow from birth to 18. And we remember so many different stages that these graduates have gone through and our children amongst us, the stages that they're in. Maybe we're thinking about how we've connected or intersected with each of these graduates. For a lot of folks in this room, there's a longevity of relationship, of our collective desire to make an impact, to have connection with each other. And isn't that one of the reasons or benefits of being in a faith community? Kind of one of the points of being church? I think for the most part, we're all trying to make a positive impact in the world and with each other. I wonder if those of you that are a little older, if you'd be willing to think for a moment about some of the thoughts and feelings you had when you just graduated high school. For some of you, it may not have been that far away. For some of us, it's been a little bit longer. But think about how you thought and what you felt. And then I'm going to invite a couple of you that are willing to share. And if you're willing to share, if you'll raise your hand and one of the awesome ushers will bring a microphone to you. If you're on Zoom and you're willing to share, feel free to unmute. What do you remember thinking and feeling having just graduated high school? Susan.
This is Susan. I was really, really scared. I had been accepted at George Fox, but I grew up in Southern California. So thinking of moving all the way up here, and I knew I had been homesick before going to camps, and so it was really scary. Exciting, but scary. I remember feeling so ready for adventure. I had these images of being able to meet all these new people and like the discussions and conversations. And I was especially excited for like late night college conversations in the dorm, like the dorm lounge, and talking philosophy. And I was really, really ready for the adventure and to try on new parts of my identity where I felt like people didn't see me, having seen me for so long, to meet new people where you could try on new parts of myself.
One or two more. Nathan, Marie. Oh, and Brenda, there we go.
I'm Brenda Berg. I was dating Scott.
Seemed to work out.
Yeah. So far.
Yeah.
really glad because it was trauma at home. My parents didn't encourage me to go to college, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I had some friends saying, hey, we're going to go down to Monmouth to OCE. You want to come? I said, so I went to OCE for 1 year, and then I got married. So very tumultuous, scary, and exciting. There's a lot of emotion just going around at that point. Finding out who you are and being in a big world.
And Nathan will wrap us up.
This is Nathan, no pressure. I felt like growing out of an old pair of favorite shoes or favorite jeans of all the memories that went into the work, but they didn't fit anymore, and they were getting worn out, and they had holes in them, and it was time to put those aside and move on. But those are my favorite pair of shoes, those are my favorite jeans, that was my favorite shirt, but it was time to move on. So just that transition of, ooh, exciting new clothes, I get to go shopping, I can pick a new pair. And they won't quite fit right, but that's okay because I can break those in too. And that's a process that I was excited, and I hear that from lots of people.
Thank you for being, well, those of you that shared, thank you for being courageous. And hopefully each of us that have graduated high school, you remember what it's like to be at that stage. And we have compassion and empathy and a lot of love for you graduates, for the stage, for being at this place and stage. I think doing this in community is part of the beauty and part of the magic. We, as their faith community, have played an important role for these graduates and hopefully for each other. When we dedicate babies or children here at North Valley, we commit to support the child and their parents and to do that work together. Finn has grown up at North Valley his whole life. Jeremiah started coming to North Valley in 2014 when he was 10 years old. And Asher started coming in 2011 when he was 7. So these three graduates have grown up here, and we've been their faith community. So yes, this service is about Asher and Finn and Jeremiah, but it's also about the children in our community and the commitments we make as a church to be church to one another. And as a church, we direct each other to Christ and try to emulate the love that God has for us and for each other through koinonia, the relationship of believers to one another. It reminds us that we're participating in something. That according to Romans 12:5, we belong to one another in Christ. And hopefully that's powerful to you. That's why you're here. It's a reminder of the important charge we have as faith community, because whether we like it or not, our children and young people watch us when we want them to, and when we prefer that they didn't. They listen to us when we think they're listening, and when we don't think they're listening. When we complain, when we praise, when we speak publicly, when we mutter under our breath. And every time that we're together as their faith community, we're modeling what a faith community is. And hopefully today is a reminder to us all that we're raising our children and each other together. And hopefully we take that responsibility and treat it respectfully, honorably, and humbly. I think a lot of times, those of us that are older, we think about what we want to teach the younger generation, how we want to make an impact, or what lessons we'd like to leave them with. And as I thought about these three graduates, I've realized that they probably have taught me more than I have taught them. Jeremiah, Asher, and Finn Each of you are unique and creative and tender in different ways. Asher, you are kind to everyone you meet and work hard to make sure everyone is included. Jeremiah, ever since I met you, I have admired and watched your tenderness that you care, the tenderness that you hold for your sister, and the way that you show her love and care from your whole growing up. Finn, your creative expression gives space for others to be who they are at all times with you. Each of you, in your own unique ways, have modeled my theme verse, Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. I need the reminder to not conform, to not please others, but instead follow the voice of God. I can be a people pleaser. I think most pastors are. And I remember in high school all the different ways that I tried that on. There was the phase that I wore all black. My mom loved that one. Yep. And the phase where, so I'm an 80s girl, but I used to hairspray my bangs really high. My uncle would sing that song, The Beach Boys, Catch a Wave When You're Sitting on Top of the World, for my hair. No. There was the phase that I was convinced the only thing I needed to be cool was a pair of Guess jeans. And our graduates today, Finn, Asher, and Jeremiah, each of them in their own way have resisted conformity. They are salt and light in the world, bringing out God flavors. And friends, all healthy communities need nonconformers to bring about change. And what I've noticed about nonconformity is that it makes us question ourselves. We question our processes, how we do things, why we do things, the way we do them. And sometimes nonconformers make us feel uncomfortable. And that's part of the purpose. One of the Bible commentaries says that when Paul says, do not conform, but be transformed, that's the difference between an outward conformity or disguise and a thorough inward assimilation. And friends, this is hard. And this morning, I'm taking up a little bit more time, but all rules are off for Senior Sunday, it's fine. We're gonna take a look at a video of some other non-conformers.
After being cut from his high school basketball team, he went home, locked himself in his room, and cried. He wasn't able to speak until he was almost 4 years old, and his teachers said he would never amount to much. Was demoted from her job as a news anchor because she wasn't fit for television. Fired from a newspaper for lacking imagination and having no original ideas. At age 11, he was cut from his team after being diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency, which made him smaller in stature than most kids his age. At 30 years old, he was left devastated and depressed after being unceremoniously removed from the company he started. School dropout, whose personal struggles with drugs and poverty culminated in an unsuccessful suicide attempt. A The teacher told him he was too stupid to learn anything, and that he should go into a field where he might succeed by virtue of his pleasant personality. Rejected by Decca Recording Studios, who said, "We don't like their sound. They have no future in show business." His first book was rejected by 27 publishers. His fiancée died, failed in business, had a nervous breakdown, and was defeated in 8 elections. If you've never failed, you've never tried anything new.
So in no way am I trying to make the connection that our grads are failures. Please hear that right away. And I think we can agree, none of these folks are failures. And what strikes me about this video is not necessarily the remarkable, incredible things that Michael Jordan, Abraham Lincoln, and Oprah have done. But rather, these folks decided which voices to listen to. And it wasn't the negative voices in their lives, the ways they were denied or rejected, the ways they failed. And I don't know their spiritual sense. I don't know if they knew from God these were the things that they were supposed to do. These folks would not have become famous had they listened to the ways that others had rejected them, if they hadn't kept persisting. And I know that I need reminders of which voices to listen to, of what I give power to, what gets to name me, what gets to call out truth in me. Sometimes it's my own voice I need to silence. Sometimes it's culture around me. So friends, we're gonna go into a time of waiting worship with these questions. What voices do you allow to name you or call out truth in you? And are there some voices you need to silence? And if those questions are helpful for you, I invite you to hold them and consider them. And if they're not, if God's already speaking to you, go with that. If you have a message from God for all of us, I encourage you to stand and wait for a microphone to be brought so we can all hear. And if you're on Zoom, we encourage you to unmute and share. If God has a message for you or for a couple others, we encourage you to be faithful to that. Let's listen to Christ together.